comes, Peter asked the question about the ratio of voters going from Labour and Conservatives. I think you've got to get into the head of those defectors of both parties first. The Labour defector to UKIP has done it with a heavy heart, as if they're being unfaithful to their brand. It is a plea that my leadership hasn't heard my problems in my communities. Ed Miliband, if he chooses to do so, has an easier task, and I'll explain why in a second, to get back his defectors than the Conservative Party has. Now, the Conservative Party defectors who have gone, what have they gone through? Well, first of all, they went through abuse from the Conservatives. That the strategy was to call them fruitcakes, nutters, closet racists, you name it. And this is how we as a party handled it. And Lord Tebbit actually gave the analogy and said that it's like you have a shop here, and the competitor opens down the street, and your customers walk past your front door to go to that shop. How do you respond? Well, the Conservatives, how they responded there was to go to your doorstep and scream abuse at them as they went to your competitor. A great, absolutely superb move. And then secondly, is that the Conservatives decided that the next strategy was going to be, let's have a look at the profile of our voters. Oh, they're older, traditional, all the rest of it. What about doing something that we're under no pressure to do that's really going to piss them off? So somebody says, well, what about gay marriage? And there's nothing to do with whether I support or against it. I'm talking about the political consequences of actions that are taken. Is we say, well, gay marriage, let's do that. So we then had to take the political consequence of another group of people going to UKIP. Then what do the Conservatives do next? Before the European elections, the party, through its clever department, decides we're going to find every comment that anybody from UKIP has done about a woman's role in society, or whether we should export these people or that, you know, whatever politically incorrect statement. Make it all blown up, leak it to the press, including The Guardian, make sure that their rallies are disruptive, and have a real crack at them before the European election. Well, the consequence of that, and to every action, there's a reaction and a consequence. So the reaction to that was maybe it cost UKIP a seat, maybe two seats at the European Parliament. They still did very well. But it created two consequences. One, it exorcised the problem for them. The media are no longer interested in what some remote UKIP may say on a feminist nature at the moment, or if they do report it, it's this much in a sub-paragraph. It allowed Nigel Farage as well to say to his people, thank you very much, Conservative Party. You have done my due diligence. I've grown so rapidly that I haven't been able to keep track, but you've done all the work for me, and where necessary, I've removed these people, and thank you very much indeed. But more importantly, he's then been able to tell his supporters, bear in mind how the Conservatives get into the gutter to do this. And maybe the label, the nasty party, is actually true. So now we have a great idea that we should now say a vote for UKIP is a vote for Miliband. Oh, they'll understand that. The problem is what politicians often say and what the voters hear are very different. So we hold focus groups on this. And what's the result? What do they really hear? They hear two fingers pointed at them, saying, oi, sunshine, when you wake up and realise how dumb, dumb, dumb you are, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to be back voting for me. So now you've got this group of UKIP voters, 95% of whom are decent people. You've abused them, you've thrashed them, and now you tell them they're coming home to daddy? So I'm not one of those who actually, I would be quite surprised if there is a major